Hello, friends. Welcome to another episode of Tell Us a Good Story. Today, Steph and I are actually on vacation.
Woohoo!
That means this is a great time to share a conversation we had last year with one of my good buddies, Adam Bennett, who is absolutely hilarious.
You guys, in this episode, we focus on our stories on the topic of family vacations. Adam shares what it's like for his family when they head out west to South Dakota to visit relatives and tells the story of how his personal dream of never going to Disney World backfired on him.
And then Steph and I share some of the funny experiences from our family vacations, such as the time I won a chance to throw out the first pitch at a minor league baseball game, and the time Steph didn't like my tone when our toddler was having a bathroom emergency.
No, I did not. You guys, we can't wait for you to hear this episode with our good friend, Adam Bennett.
I'm Kevin.
And I'm Stephanie.
And during our marriage, we have dealt with an electrocution, a brain tumor, brain surgery.
Then doctors telling us that children were not in our future, followed by miscarriage, and then Kevin's cancer diagnosis.
However, today, we live a life completely healed and restored with three healthy children who doctors said were not possible. And we're here to tell stories that inspire, give hope, and brighten your day. Welcome to
Tell Us a Good Story.
This episode is being presented to you by Storyside Church, where your story matters. At Storyside Church, they believe God always writes a good story.
You can join them for church online each Sunday morning on their Facebook page or watch their entire library of prior services on their YouTube channel, Storyside Church.
Steph, today we have our good friend.
Oh, Adam Bennett!
Mr. Adam Bennett joining us.
Hey, everybody.
Shows up.
As always, we love having Adam with us.
And I love being here.
Okay, with this being summer, let's hear some stories about a topic that is near and dear to our hearts, right? And that is vacation stories.
Love family vacations. But do you realize that with family vacations now with kids, you go exhausted and you come back more exhausted?
It is not the same.
No.
It is absolutely not the same.
Mm-mm. What do you think, Adam?
You're doing the same routine just on the road. At least that's what my wife tells me.
Right. No, that's very true. So you're going on vacation here soon, right?
Yeah.
To going to the beach.
Mm-hmm.
But what are some of the vacations you've had before we get into our stories about like Myrtle Beach last year?
Well, my wife's from South Dakota.
Yes.
The Black Hills part. So think like Mount Rushmore.
She's close to that, isn't she?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. So also Deadwood.
Okay.
I think she had a Deadwood address growing up. You know the TV show Deadwood?
No.
It was an HBO show about Deadwood. It's a Wild West town. So,
and then what's
the Sturgis Rally?
That's what I was going to say. The bike rally.
The big Sturgis Rally.
That's close by.
Right near there as well.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I like going out there in the summer.
Tell Steph what the winter was like.
They have snow 7 months out of the year. The Black Hills. So it starts in October and goes through May. Her sister just came down. In fact, her sister and her brother-in-law came down and stayed with us this week. They just left yesterday. And when they left their house, there was snow. So it was early June. Mm-hmm, yeah. So there's a lot of snow. Yeah, it's a lot of snow. But if I'm going in the summer, I have a good time. I mean, it's just different culturally.
How? How's it different?
The main thing I notice when I go out there is people out there have a different relationship with risk. Like, you don't think about it because you tolerate a certain level of risk. I think it's pretty low out here. Out there, they just live with and tolerate more risk in all of their daily activities. I mean, you think about the Sturgis Rally you brought up.
Yes.
I mean, Cody used to work at a diner, as a kid out there, as a teenager, just right there in the heart of the Sturgis Rally. They would have between 6 and 12 road fatalities every Sturgis Rally from the bikers. I mean, it was common. And it's just something that, we have half a million people here. We're going to lose 12 to 20. It's just the way
it
is.
Risk we're willing to take.
That's just how, I've seen my brother-in-law on a dirt bike that may or may not have been street legal, drink a six-pack, pop a wheelie, and head off at 80 miles per hour. And I'm just looking out there going, wow. And they just live with risk differently than they do out here. I mean, you think about the Sturgis Rally. If there was an event, a similar event here in Central Ohio where
half a million people,
where 12 people you knew were going to die because of the event every year.
Yes. Like Red, White, and Boom.
Yeah. Like, we're going to have Red, White, and Boom. 12 people are going to die. It would never happen.
It wouldn't.
Because they would just throw out that statement. They would just throw out that statement. How many people are we willing to lose to continue this event? I mean, that's a rhetorical, we're done. Not zero. I mean, if you say that out there, how many people are we willing to lose to continue the Sturgis Rally? They start doing math. They're like, well, we got 500,000 people.
Friends, we just want to take a moment here to say thank you to all you loyal listeners.
Ah, you guys, we just found out that Tell Us a Good Story is now in the top 1.5% of all podcasts worldwide. And that is because of you guys sharing with your family and friends on social media and giving us positive reviews on all the podcast platforms.
And if your friends ask, just tell them they can get our entire catalog of episodes at kevinandsteph.com or wherever they like to get their podcasts.
Thank you guys so much for listening to Tell Us a Good Story.
So, Adam, our vacations are a little bit different than going to South Dakota. So, we do an annual trip now to Myrtle Beach with your family.
Yep.
Here's what happens. Everywhere we go, whether it's vacation or not, but primarily, I guess, vacation, it's always we have to tape-proof the room. And the first year we went to Myrtle Beach with Tate, we get into this room, and immediately, Steph and I are like, okay, we got to tape-proof the room. So, we are taking furniture away from the windows. We moved the couch in front of the sliding glass door that led out to the balcony on the 13th floor. Everything.
Everything, yeah.
We were trying to tape-proof it.
And until then, we couldn't find Tate.
And then all of a sudden, we're like, where did Tate go?
Behind that couch.
He's in the bathroom.
Oh.
Okay. So, go in the bathroom. And, Tate, what are you doing? He has his arm in the toilet. He's swirling around his arm.
Yeah.
Like he's stirring soup.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm glad your mother didn't see this. So I immediately grab him and he got a quick bath.
Yeah,
got a quick bath.
Yeah.
Then
we take him to the beach.
Oh gosh.
Right.
First experience at the beach,
having fun. What's the kid gonna do? He's gonna eat sand. All kids eat sand. Whatever. But then he starts chewing. And chewing and chewing. And I'm like, Kevin, what's in his mouth? He's like, it's just sand. I'm like, no.
You saw him put something in his mouth.
He fish hooks him, and there's a dirty cigarette.
Cigarette butt in his
chewing.
Mouth.
Chewing.
Oh. That I brought out.
Yeah.
Because literally it got to the point, hey, Kevin, just sit him down. And then you see him put something in his mouth, and it wasn't just sand.
Oh, so gross. So gross.
So that's the first step. When we go on vacation, it is tape-proof the room. Uh-huh. So now he is 4 years old. We get to Myrtle Beach. And you go out on the balcony to put the towels out there.
Yes.
And what does Tate do?
Oh, my gosh. The first night we stay at this different hotel. It's right on the beach, 13th floor, beautiful view. I'm hanging out the towels. I look to my right, and Tate has pushed the furniture up against the railing so he could look over the railing.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Honestly, I still have nightmares about it.
I still have
nightmares about that. Ugh. So what do we do? Furniture goes against the glass doors. And then we're like doing that. And he tries to go out the front door. So he goes out of the hotel
out in the
room.
Hallway.
Oh.
Yes.
So then, Kevin, how did you booby trap the front door?
So I put a chair in front of the door, an ironing board on top of the chair. So if he were to wake up in the middle of the night, because the lock was high enough for him to get.
Oh.
Right? So if he were to get out, he would have to pull the chair out. We would hear the ironing board drop, and it would wake us up.
Yeah.
So we literally had to set a booby trap.
We did.
For our 4-year-old.
Yeah.
But then. So we spent one night on the beach, and then the next day we went to the resort, which is, you know, mile inland or whatever. And he was having a hard time sleeping that one night. So we brought him in our room, made a bed for him, and there is a door that goes out to a screened-in porch, right, on the balcony. We're on, like, the fourth floor, but it's totally screened in.
Okay? Thankfully.
So, I wake up the next morning, I look, and our door is unlocked, and it's open. And I was like, Steph, did you go outside by chance in the middle of the night? No, totally didn't. So, we look at Tate. Tate, did you go outside?
Yep.
Sure did, Dad.
Yep.
So, in the middle of the night, he woke up, unlocked the door, walked out of the screen, is just out there, just middle of the night, just watching...
Patrolling the perimeter.
The fountain of the lake, just out there watching, like sitting by himself, comes back in and didn't latch the door.
Yeah.
But he's an escape artist.
Yeah.
And so that's like the first thing we do when we go on vacation is how do we tape proof the room, wherever we're at, whatever.
Perfect example why you come home from vacation exhausted.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Like it is exhausting watching that kid.
All it takes is one kid that's a climber.
That's him.
Yeah, really.
And you've got the same
one
thing.
One of mine.
Yes.
Izzy is a climber. And it was a chore. So, like this table here that we're recording at, we couldn't leave this table like this when she was a kid. We'd have to put the chairs in another room because she'd climb up on the chair to the table and try to swing on the light fixture. Do you know those play pens that you know, kids play in?
Yes.
You can kind of like keep them, you know, you can attach the little fencing sides.
Like a UFC octagon.
Yeah. In the morning, I used to assemble one of those before I went to work, and I would put myself in it so I could drink my coffee without her climbing on me. It's the only way I could do it. So I'd stand in the middle of the playpen, you know, instead of being...
Have your breakfast.
Yeah, and then I'd just sit there and drink the coffee, and she'd stand outside and wait for me, the playpen, looking, like, just let me drink the coffee. It's not personal. But yeah, I was inside the playpen.
Steph, that's me with Tate. Mm-hmm. I can't eat my cereal without him getting on my lap and climbing. Yes, that is so true.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my God.
That is so true. That happens to me every morning with Tate.
Izzy would climb out of her crib. And we realized that if we bought her one-piece pajamas that were a size too small,
okay,
she couldn't kick her leg up onto the railing.
Oh, really?
Uh-huh.
What?
One step ahead of her. Uh-huh. We realized that. So I had the idea because, you know, she kicks the leg up on the railing of the crib. Now she goes. And I told Cody, I go, one size smaller. And we did it. And you can see her on the monitor. Just
kicking the leg up.
Kicking the leg up. The PJs are one piece. They're too small. They're footy pajamas. It'd have to be footy pajamas, obviously, to keep the leg from extending. It worked.
Brilliant.
I'm not sure if it's a form of abuse, but it worked.
So, one tradition we have every year, and that we've done this for, I don't know, many years now, is, Adam, we will go to the Myrtle Beach Pelicans baseball game. And it's a minor league baseball game for the Chicago Cubs. It's like the
single A
Chicago Cubs. A few years ago, at the resort we're staying at, it was like Sheridan Resort, when we checked in, they had a sign for a giveaway. They were doing a drawing to throw out the first pitch at the baseball game. And I'm like, Steph, this is a bucket list. This is a bucket list experience.
Sure.
We've got to put that in there. So after we check in, I go over the concierge. I'm like, listen, when are you doing this drawing? And he's like, do you have a kid who would like to throw out the first pitch at the game? I'm like, kid?
Kid? He doesn't have the arm for that. 60 feet, 6 inches? No way.
I go, no, I would like to do that. He's like, oh, you would. And I make the comment.
And what disease do you have, little boy?
I made the comment, I'm like, sir, that is like a bucket list thing for me. I've always wanted to throw out a first pitch at a baseball game. That would be amazing. He's like, oh, okay. So he takes my information, puts it down, and Emmy was like 18 months, 20 months.
Maybe. I think she's
so
two.
Okay, so we only had one child at the time. So next day, we get a phone call in a room. Is Mr. Mason there? Yes, this is he. Hey, just wanted to let you know that you won the drawing to throw out the first pitch. And I'm like, are you kidding me? Are you serious? He's like, yes. It'll be Tuesday night at the Pelicans game. And I'm like, okay, let me ask you something. Did you actually draw my name? And he's like, we did not. We saw how enthusiastic you were. And you said this was like a bucket list item. So we're like, hey, let's not do the drawing. Let's just give it to this guy.
We assumed you had a terminal illness based on how badly you wanted it. So we wish you well.
So he goes, we're just going to let you do it. Don't tell anybody. No, we didn't actually do the drawing. Okay. Yeah, uh-huh. So I'm like, oh, that's fantastic. So
you're so excited.
I am so excited, Adam. So you had to get to the ballpark at like 6 o'clock or something, right? They tell you, okay, here's the entrance to go into. And okay, I am so excited to do this, but I got to make it memorable. I want to make this experience even more memorable. And the week before, Bill Murray had thrown out the first pitch at the Chicago Cubs game. And when he threw out the first pitch, he threw it right into the screen in the back, right? And it was like really funny. I was like, oh, that's awesome. So they gave him the ball and he just like threw it like 30 feet over the catcher's head. It went in the screen, right?
Yeah.
And so I'm like,
but he's a comic legend. I don't know how it would be received. Go ahead. I want to see where this is going.
So I'm like, what if? Like, don't shoot me down here, guys. What if I threw it to the screen behind him? And I remember your dad just like rubs his head and he's like, Kevin, I don't think that's a good idea. And the look on your dad's face was like, I had such high hopes for this guy, right? So then I'm like, okay, the mascot's going to be there. What if I throw it at the mascot? And the whole table's like, no,
please, don't.
Like, stop.
Please
stop.
Don't.
This is nonsense. Like, don't throw a wild pitch.
Just throw the pitch.
That's it.
That's all you got to do, Kevin. Just throw the pitch.
Then you came up with the idea. Why don't you do this with your daughter? Hold your daughter, get out on the mound, and throw the first pitch. How about that? I was like, I guess I could do that. That'd be memorable too. So before we went over, I practiced holding Emmy and doing my wind-up pitch, right? And so I'm glad I did because like my leg kick hit her, right? And then me throwing it, I want to make sure I could throw it without hitting her as I'm throwing it. So we practiced a few times the motion in the hotel. And so I'm glad we did. So you guys go to dinner. Mm-hmm. I go early by myself to the Pelicans Park. So I go into this gate and I'm like, hey, is this where they're doing the first pitch? Is this where I'm supposed to check in? He's like, yes. Do you have a kid here with you that would like to throw the first pitch?
I'm like, stymied again.
I'm like, no, sir, it's me. Oh, okay. Like normally we have kids do this, but yeah, sure. So he's like, okay, let me take you to the area. So they walk me through. I meet all these administrative people. And hey, here's the ball you're going to throw out. And they've got the red carpet out there in front of the mound. And I'm like, whoa, red mm-hmm. carpet. Please tell me I'm allowed to throw off the mound.
Yeah.
And like, yeah, sure, if you want. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, most people don't. Probably because they're kids.
Yeah.
Right? That's probably why.
Yeah, you expose the system for the fraud that it is. Good for you.
But yeah, if you want to throw off the mound, go ahead. So like, heck yes, I'm going to throw off the mound. Yeah. So give me the game ball, and then you show up like maybe 20 minutes before the game or something with our daughter. You bring her down to me, so I'm holding Emmy, take us on the field, and throw the first pitch. It was not a strike, but I made it with our two-year-old in my arm. No one got injured in the process. Very memorable, and gave us the game ball, and the mascot signed it and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. But hopefully someday, Steph, get to do it again.
That'd be great.
Hopefully you could take another child's opportunity to throw out a first pitch. It'd be nice.
So it is amazing what minor league teams do for like your in-game entertainment. So last year we went, they like hit a home run and they have this dog come out and do a victory lap. Okay. So the dog gets to first base and the owner of this dog's just like yelling at the dog, like to keep running. Dog just stops first base, just like sits down.
It relieves itself.
Didn't do that. No. But the owner was probably nervous about that, right? So then the owner runs out to first base, picks up the dog.
Rolled up newspaper.
But picks up the dog, and then the owner runs around all the bases.
So who's been trained here, folks?
So you're like, huh, that's quite the victory lap. That's awesome. I love this.
If you like what you hear, please tell someone about us. As soon as this episode is over, go tell your spouse, your closest friend, a parent, a coworker, or share one of our posts on social media.
However, if you don't like what you're hearing, please do not.
Don't tell anyone.
Don't tell anyone.
Don't tell anybody.
Just disregard this message.
Don't worry
about
it.
Forget about us.
Yep.
Go on with your merry day.
And to get more information about us or our entire catalog of episodes, be sure to check us out at kevinandsteph.com. Thank you for listening to Tell Us a Good Story.
So the other thing we do is there's an area called Broadway on the Beach.
Love Broadway at the Beach.
It is an outdoor mall. And in one section of it, or two sections, there's like a carnival area. They've got rides and the games. Kids love it.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is with having three little kids and little kids who aren't tall enough to go on rides by themselves, that requires a parent to go with the child.
Yeah. Mm.
And us today going on rides is not the same as what it used to be.
You don't like the frog hopper like you used to?
No.
So, for example, the first time we did this, I got talked into riding the teacups.
You can't fit in a teacup.
Oh, yeah. That's not the issue. Fitting in a teacup is not the issue.
It's the vertigo. Got it.
Yes.
Yes.
So, I asked the carny as I'm getting into tube, hey, do these spin around pretty fast? And she starts laughing. Doesn't answer my question, just starts laughing. All right, okay. All right. So, Adam, here was my plan. This is with Emmy and Elle. I was going to spin it really fast, get them to laugh, and then stop it.
Yeah.
I was going to hold it and just slow it down, stop it. Here's the problem. I started off spinning it, and then you can't stop it. So
I did
that at the beginning of the ride, and I couldn't mainly stop it anymore. So for the entire ride, we are just zip, the whole ride, and like the world is just spinning. Aww. And I'm like, oh, this is not good. Is this the longest ride ever? Because literally like 2 minutes on that ride feels like 20 minutes when you are just flying. So we get off that ride. I can barely walk straight. And Steph's like, okay, what's the next ride you're going on, right? I'm like,
Kevin's like bent over, holding his stomach.
I am so sick. I'm like, I am sitting right here on this park bench. And I just sat in that park bench for how long? By myself?
For a while.
So you can't do coasters?
I can do roller coasters.
But just
circle.
Not the constant
spin. It's the
spin.
Circle.
Yeah.
Got it. I know it's some folks like that. Yeah,
oh my gosh. And I didn't know that until I got on the teacups.
Mm-hmm. Got it.
And I didn't know that once you start spinning it to a certain speed, like you couldn't stop it.
Yeah.
This isn't like a little toy, right? Mm-hmm. It's literally, it keeps
going. But you
could
do it when you were younger, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Emmy had no problem with it, right?
Oh, the kids loved
they
it.
They loved
yeah.
it.
Yeah, Emmy and Elle loved it. Absolutely loved it. So last year, they wanted to go in the teacups. And like,
nope.
Not with this guy. All right, you're going on by yourself.
Or mom.
Aren't doing it either.
Ever since the electrocution, I can't do it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it gets me.
Yeah. So I say, I'm not doing it. So it's Emmy, Elle, and now Tate gets in there. All right. So they start spinning it. And they didn't tape proof the ride.
They did not.
So guess what Tate does when it starts spinning?
Mm.
He climbs up on top of the wheel and is trying to like surf. And
there's probably a sign that says you shouldn't
you can't
do that.
Guess what the Carney does? Carney immediately stops the ride.
Yep.
And she gets out of her little booth, walks over to Tate, and is like, you sit down and you do not move. It's like she's like yelling it.
Yeah.
Not yelling, but she's like
she
giving it to Tate.
She
got
on
him good.
She needed to.
A 3-year-old at the time.
Yeah. I mean, we're yelling at him, but he's
to sit
not,
down.
Yeah.
Yep. Well, Steph's mom, Brenda's beside me, and we're watching this, and I hear Brenda under her breath as the Carney's like getting on Tate. She's like, tell him, tell him. She's like rooting on the Carney to like.
Yeah, that's the only English phrase that Carney knows, but she lit him up.
She lit him up, his 3-year-old. So that was pretty funny.
Mm-hmm.
In that same night. So after we do those rides, Broadway the Beach, Steph, you want to
go shopping.
Yeah,
okay? With my mom
girls. And the girls. I have Tate. I have one job.
You just one job.
Just take care of Tate.
That's it.
Keep him alive. That's it.
That's it. That's all he had to do. Just let me have one moment. Let me have just one moment to just relax and go shopping with my mom.
Yes.
That's what I wanted.
All right. So I've got Tate.
Yeah.
I've got the stroller. And all of a sudden he's like, Daddy, I got to go potty. I'm like, can you hold it? Daddy, I got to go. I got to go. I'm like, oh, no, this is not good. Okay. And you had already trained him. Right.
Yeah.
So it's not like he's in a diaper.
Nope.
He's in his big boy pants. And so I get the stroller and I only know in this area where there's one bathroom mat. That is it. And so I grab him and I just take off. I go behind of like the mall area. Mm-hmm. Okay. Like towards
less
the parking
traffic.
Lot. There's less traffic. I grab Tate and I just start running because it's a long way to this one bathroom. Okay.
Well, he's a boy. So it kind of depends on the nature of the emergency.
I didn't want to do that in public.
Yeah.
But yes. If we were at anywhere else instead of like this mall area, I mean, there's no trees to go by.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right. Like if you're at Easton, where are you gonna do that at? Easton,
yeah,
you're not gonna do it in front of a store.
No, that's true.
Or on a sidewalk.
Not a lot of.
There's not
foliage.
There's not.
No.
Yeah.
Mm-mm.
So
very similar.
Otherwise, you're right. No. I would go find a tree if we were somewhere else. So I grab him. I start running on the backside of the mall, like towards the parking lot. I'm running, and he's just. Daddy, I gotta go. I gotta go. I'm like, oh, hold it. You know, parents are looking at me. I'm like, gotta go potty. And like the Red Sea is parting on the sidewalk as I'm running. And people are like, yeah, we've been there. Go, Dad. You got it. So finally get to the bathroom and run in there. And there's caution tape over both of the bathroom stalls.
Mm.
Now, as you know, in the men's restroom, there's more urinals than there are stalls, right? So if one breaks, you're down to one. Well, if both have caution tape on it, sorry, you're not going to go number two. So I'm like, okay, Tate, let's try this urinal for the first time in your life.
Yeah.
So go up to a urinal, pull his pants down. He's on my leg, Adam. He reaches into the urinal and grabs the cake.
Oh, it's not that
picks
kind
it
of
and,
cake.
And picks it up, and I grab his arm and drop it.
No.
So then I'm like, okay, you can go potty. Go ahead. Yeah, don't touch anything.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to hold his hand away from me.
It's so gross.
And
it's
like, yeah,
so
okay,
gross.
You can go ahead and go.
Mm.
And he looks at me confused. I'm like, Tate, you can go. Go ahead and go. And he's like, okay, Daddy. All of a sudden, he closes his eyes and starts grunting.
Oh, boy.
And immediately,
you kind of called your bluff there. You said it.
And immediately, I'm like, oh, no. Like, and I'm in the bathroom, and dads are coming in. I'm like, don't you dare poop on my leg. Don't you dare. And so I'm like, oh, my gosh. No, we can't do this.
Yeah.
And, like, not on these shorts, Tate. Not, like, do not do this. So he's confused, closes his eyes, he starts groaning. I'm like, oh, this is not good. So what do? I pull my phone and I call Miss Shopping woman over here. And who answered the phone? Was it your mom?
Uh-huh.
Because were you trying on something?
No, I just shopping.
You just did not want to talk. You
between margaritas is what she was. Size of a fishbowl.
You're like, this is my time.
Well, you called my phone, and I might not have answered it. So then you called mom's phone.
Oh, that's what
and
it was.
And then she picked, your husband's calling.
And I'm like, I'm now freaking out because he's ready to just have an explosion here. Mm-hmm. I'm like, Brenda, I need my wife. Please get my wife. Like, immediately. Answers like, why? Like, no, don't ask questions. Like, please get my wife. And you get on the phone. What do you want? Like, Steph, I need you so bad right now. Please come to the bathroom. Tate has to go. The potties they're done. Then you start asking me questions. I'm like, no, just come down here.
Yeah.
Please, Steph, stop asking me questions. Just trust me. Come down here really quick. And you didn't like my tone.
No, I did not like your tone. Because it was sort of like this, but in a little angrier
time
tone.
Is of the essence
yes,
at that point.
I'm trying
he
to
didn't explain
communicate.
Everything, but he didn't explain
I didn't have
anything.
Time.
I know that.
He is about ready to go on my
I
leg.
I understand that. But all I heard in the conversation on the phone was, I need you to help Tate go potty. That's all I heard.
Yes.
But I heard it in a not nice tone.
Okay.
So
I need you immediately. This is an emergency because this. I'm assuming there are some open stalls in the female bathroom. There are none in the men's.
Yep.
Okay. And I don't want him. He's like a ticking time bomb.
Yes.
So I'm trying to communicate to you in the least amount of words possible.
Yes. But I didn't like your tone.
So I'm like, please meet me outside. So get off the phone. I walk outside. I have a ticking time bomb in my arms, Adam. He can go at any time.
Yeah, I started.
This woman over here, I'm like, what's taking her so long? Come on. I told you how important. Like, this is an emergency.
She walked by Yankee Candle, saw some stuff she liked.
Sure did. So, yes, I did.
Adam, she finally comes walking around the corner where the restrooms are, and it is like the slowest walk ever. She's giving me the slow walk.
So bad.
And I'm out. So I'm like, Jeff, come on. Like, get over here. Like trying to like yell across there, but not be so loud and just slow walk.
I did it.
And you
sure
got to me like,
did.
I don't appreciate your tone right now.
I don't appreciate my son defecating on my leg.
So literally, you were slow walking because you didn't like my tone.
I did not.
Start pulling his drawers off right there and watch her speed up her pace.
So finally, you got Tate, took him to the restroom.
Yeah. And where he went potty, and that's it. I'm like, Tate, do you have to go the other? He's like, no, I'm good. Like, you just had, I'm like, okay.
Never did it.
At this point, he probably has a pretty robust immune system based on what you've described. You know,
the cigarette butt.
Hand in the toilet stirring, the urinal cake.
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, he will be the Omega Man.
So, Steph, if we ever need any more stories, we just need to go on vacation.
With Tate.
With Tate.
Honestly, listening to this, like, we're supposed to go to vacation in a few weeks, and now I'm internally cringing going on vacation with Tate.
Tate proof.
Like, who wants to watch Tate for our vacation?
Abby went through this phase where she would like to visit bathrooms wherever we were at. Yeah.
Oh, so, that's fun.
Whether it's Skyline Chili anywhere.
Gas station.
Mm-hmm. Or a gas station. Anywhere we were at where she thought there might be a bathroom, she would say, I have to go potty. And it wouldn't even have to be an establishment. If we were at a sporting event and there was a porta potty. Oh, I have to go. I got so tired of it. I started occasionally calling her bluff. She'd be like, I have to go potty. And I would look at her and I'd go, pee your pants. I literally would do that. Go ahead and do it. If you got to go, just pee him right here. And we would lock eyes for a good three count.
Calling her bluff.
I would. Because I would be like, I think she went. But she kept pushing it too far. And I knew she was faking it. And I knew at some point I might be wrong. But I would call her bluff a few times and say, just pee your pants right here. You really have to go. I'm like, I'm not playing this game. I mean,
you're not going to the porta potty.
Yeah.
You're not doing it.
And I never once got my bluff called by her. I probably did it a half dozen times. Like, go ahead, just pee your pants.
Were you proud of yourself for winning with that 4-year-old?
The mind battles that she would do. She would do it at 6 or 7. She's like, I have to go. Like, all right.
Oh.
Just let her rip. I'm not stopping at this Sunoco.
Steph, any other stories you want to share today?
Oh, no. So much fun. Always so much fun to reminisce and be with Adam.
Adam, thank you so much, buddy.
Yeah, certainly.
Friends, thank you for listening to this episode of Tell Us a Good Story.
For additional content and longer episodes, you can go to our website at kevinandsteph.com or wherever you like to listen to podcasts.
And don't forget, you can catch us every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 10 a.m. right here on the AM/FM 24/7 network. Thank you for listening to
Tell Us a Good Story.